This is Scott Becker with the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast. Thrilled today to be visiting with Teresa Lensick. Carrie's an attorney at McGuire Woods and a brilliant young leader. We're going to talk to Carrie today about leadership and her best advice for leaders. Carrie, do you want to take a second to introduce yourself or take a moment to do so?
Sure. Yep. Thank you so much for having me, Scott. As Scott said, my name is Carrie Zalensic. I'm an attorney at McGuire Woods, where I'm part of the healthcare department. I focus on transactional and corporate work for healthcare companies, so, you know, negotiating transactions and various other types of contracts and agreements. I represent mostly providers and private companies, some of those backed by private equity firms and others not. I work a lot with surgery centers and physicians, and I also do some work in some interesting other areas such as veterinary practices, and I live and work in the Chicago area.
Thank you very, very much. I want to ask you questions like, are the veterinary patients better than the human patients for providers? Because it seems like an unfair question, but I will ask you the following. Carrie, for people that don't know her, is a brilliant person and a thoughtful person. You're an observer of the world. Take a moment on sort of the best advice that you would give to leaders today, in today's world, business leaders, political leaders, whatever it might be. What advice would you give to emerging leaders?
Yeah, so I think this is one thing that I had to kind of learn myself, but I think you really need to figure out what works for you in terms of leadership style and lead in a way that suits you and your personality. So, you know, not all leaders lead in the same way, which is obviously very clear in the world that we live in right now. And you can be a good leader without being the same type of leader as maybe your mentor or your current boss or the person that you like look up to in the world. So, and then the flip side of that, I think, is that a good leader recognizes that the emerging leaders under them might all lead in a different way. So, yeah, I think if you have a mentor or somebody, the idea is not to mimic them, but instead pick up some tips or tools from them and then use those in your own personal way. And in a way that is natural to you, I think you will do a better job.
Take a moment and talk about that, because in the old days, people used to think there's a role model leader and they should be like that person. And what you're saying is, yes, but. I mean, you really have to find your own authentic leadership self. There might be things that that leader does well, but if you try and mimic that leader, and that's some of their best talents are in their leadership style, you're not likely to be as good a leader yourself. Talk about developing your own leadership style and what that looks like and feels like for a leader.
Yeah, I think, you know, you'll probably recognize when you're doing something kind of as a mimic of somebody that you look up to that just doesn't feel right to you. Something that comes to mind for me is, you know, I guess I try to lead more with, you know, conversation, level-headedness, realism. I try to be positive and respectful, not to say that my mentors are not those things, but, you know, some of my strongest mentors and people that I look up to the most, I would say have more of a direct and commanding leadership style. And so while I, of course, use those things in certain scenarios, that's just not, I guess, my personality. And when I did try to lead in that way, it just felt unnatural to me. So, of course, I use those types of styles in certain scenarios. But instead of trying to mimic that style, I took, just bits and pieces of what those types of mentors do and kind of put my own spin on it. And that just feels more natural to me. And it makes me feel, I guess, less anxious when I am put in a leadership position, because I do feel like I'm able to kind of operate as myself.
And the world has somewhat moved away. The world needs strong leaders, but at the same time, it's moved away from this command and control leadership sort of methodology. And at the end of the day, it's harder and harder to find followers for this true command and control type of style, it seems. Would you comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, I agree. I think a good leader Even if they do have, present leaders do have more of a command style, I think a really good leader also fosters collaboration, like you said. And I feel like we are in a world where we are less divided into kind of leaders and followers, and there's more kind of a leader who fosters collaboration and discussion among the people that are quote unquote following them. And not only among those people, but among themselves as a leader and the people that they are trying to lead. So I think we are seeking, I guess, conversation between the leader and the people they are leading, as opposed to, I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it. And I try to keep that in mind in my own style, but I think that's kind of the way of the world these days.
Thank you very, very much. Carrie, any other advice for leaders? How clear do they have to be about strategy, goals, vision? How much do they need to share that with their team so the team understands what those goals, strategy, vision are? Any sense of that?
Yeah, I think a strong vision is very helpful. Everybody knows what they're striving for and what is expected of them. And I tend to think that a more loose strategy is good. I'm a very kind of organized person, you know, obsessed with like list making and things like that. So I do like to have a plan in place. But when you're leading a group, I think the better approach is to put a general plan or strategy in place that allow the individuals to kind of customize that in a way that, like I said, fits kind of their personality style. So I do like the idea of having a strong vision and then having a general strategy on how to get there. And that is how I kind of look at my life too. I, of course, set goals for myself and, you know, specific, you know, plan and how to get there, but that needs to be flexible. You know, you need to have ability to kind of pivot or add new things, or, you know, this goal is, you know, taking over way more of my time, so I'm going to expand on what I want to do in this area and kind of drop off the other one. So you've got to constantly be reevaluating these things and doing them in a way that makes sense to you and also to the people that you are trying to lead.
Two more quick questions for you, and I'll ask them. How important is the leader's role in talent development and talent recruitment in keeping great people around and recruiting and growing great people? And how important is it for a leader today to be what's considered a good corporate citizen? Can you talk about those two questions? How important is it for a leader to develop and retain great talent and grow that talent into leaders? And how important is it for the leader to be a solid, at least rationally solid corporate citizen today? And what does that look like?
Yeah, I definitely think it's very important for a leader to focus on their people in terms of retention and recruitment. But to me, that means a lot more than just, you know, teaching them the skills they need to do their particular trade. I think it also means, you know, taking an interest in them and what specifically they want to do with their career, helping them navigate the complexities of whatever company they work for. Being fair to them in terms of, you know, workload and deadlines, helping carry the load when you can, being respectful in terms of their time, empathetic to the struggles of, you know, a more junior person working at a company, approachable, available, et cetera. So I think it's much more than teaching them the actual business and I would say, or the actual kind of skills they need to do their profession. And I would think, honestly, probably the more important thing is to provide them these other tools, and including yourself, being approachable and available to them. And then
that you really care about the people you're leading, not just that they're tools to get your goals reached, but you care about them as people and their career development, their growth, their leadership growth, and more is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that's the key to the retention piece. You know, people want to stick around when they feel valued and cared about and heard. So the more you can do that, the better.
And talk about good corporate citizenship today and how important that is as a leader and how a leader shows that or acts that way or doesn't, or is that just something that's internal, external and internal to a leader and how they are born or can they make themselves better corporate citizens as well?
I do think it is somewhat internal, and I do think it's important. Like it or not, I think we're just living in a world where, you know, your personal and professional actions kind of are blurred. So your team and the people around you are going to expect that you act in a certain way personally, meaning a good being a good corporate citizen, kind of outside of your role at work, but also what are you doing to help your community if you're a really well-known person who has kind of a voice and power. You know, people expect that of their leaders. You know, get involved, do things to help others, do things to help, you know, the communities where your clients work and live. And then on top of that, if you're a leader and you're trying to kind of implement a policy upon the people that you're leading, but you don't actually live it yourself, it's really hard to get that done. So if you expect your employees to volunteer, the first question that they're going to ask is, well, do you volunteer? If you tell them to get involved in certain causes, they're going to want to know what you do. And as soon as they find out that you're kind of being inauthentic and that you're trying to put demands on them that you don't actually do yourself, you know, that's when you're going to get, I guess, negative feedback, pushback, and if not verbally, you're going to have disgruntled people working under you, you know, feeling unhappy.
Talk about that for a moment, because you do have some of the corporations, firms, et cetera, that sort of force their employees to do good things, and it reflects well on the brand of the company. But sometimes the employees really resent it because the employees feel like you're sort of making hay in PR out of forcing me to do this charitable work or that charitable work or this community work or that community work, but you're not really doing it yourself. It feels more like a PR marketing strategy than really caring about us deeply. Take a moment on that issue, Carrie.
Yeah, I think the key is, A, that the leader should be doing it too. And then on top of that, you know, hopefully your employees want to help others. And you want to make it feel less like a chore. You know, I see companies giving their employees a volunteer day. So they're not actually sitting at their desk doing their job that day. They're out in the community volunteering. And I think it makes it a lot easier on people to get excited and enthusiastic about helping people when they know that they don't have to kind of necessarily fit that into their personal time, or maybe a slight amount of their workload is being lifted off of them so that they can go do this other thing. So to the extent that a leader can make it feel like, unfortunately, less of a burden on someone and more of a, hey, we're going to go do this. It's going to be fun. Or, hey, we're expecting you to do a certain amount of pro bono legal services, and we're going to give out awards for it, or we're going to give you some type of credit for it. And we're going to, you know, recognize people that do X amount of hours in this way. I think it makes it more enticing to people and less of a burden. Unfortunately, that's the world where we operate, where people sometimes need something in return to help others. But, you know, it just provides motivation. And my experience has been, once you do it, once you get someone in the door to doing these kind of, I guess, good deeds or corporate citizen type activities, they really, it feels good, and, you know, they keep coming back to it. So I think it's really getting people to take that first step, and then people hopefully will be more naturally motivated to continue it on from there.
Thank you. And when an employer tells you have to do these things on top of your regular workload, not in place of them, then, of course, it's just really impinging on one's own time and own energy versus, and that seems to sort of violate the social contract concept.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Carrie Zielinczyk, I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts and leadership. Brilliant attorney. We appreciate your thoughts. Brilliant young leader. Thank you very much for joining us on the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast. Just a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Scott.